All right.
Okay, good morning. The weekly share from Masechta Sota is sponsored by David and Paula Baumzer and OMO Construction Building Futures. And the breakfast, as always, is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Ilui Nishmas, Shimon Ben Zev, and Fega Bas Chaim. And for Zev Ben David and Sarah Bas Shalom, and Chaim Ben Yoshua and Edel Bas Moshe Yosef. We are starting a brand new parak, which is exciting. We're on Chaf. We're doing Chaf Dal today. We're starting at the very end, last few lines of Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, at the beginning of the new parak. So it's worthwhile just to kind of, this is a good opportunity to review with a big picture here. We know that if a woman is unfaithful to her husband and has relations with another man, so in the worst case scenario, or in kind of the most intense scenario that the Torah gives, she'd be Chayav Misa. Misa's Bezdin, either Skila, if she's an Arusa, or Chenek, if she's a Nesua. But that's only going to be if we have Edim and Hasra. If there were Edim that saw them together, if they warned them about the punishment, and they follow all those technical details. However, short of that, kind of the other side of the spectrum, the Torah has a special parsha of Sota, which is the topic of this Masechta, which is that if the Edim, if the husband warned the woman not to be with this man, and then she was with the man, and then Edom saw them, or even one Edom saw them together, it's Machlokas, one Edom or two Edom, saw them together, but we don't know for sure, you know, you don't have the two Edom situation, or etc. You haven't fulfilled the requirements for Edos and Asra that would be Mechayev Misa. So then you're going to do this special ritual called Sota, where she's going to drink the Mei Sota, and that's going to test her. And then the upside of that is that if she passes the test, if it turns out that she is right Naki from that, so then they could be back together and they could reunite. But there's a whole subset of cases that our mission is now going to describe where you don't get Misa because for various reasons. And on the other hand, we don't administer the Sota waters, the Mei Sota. And in that, those situations, the couple is now going to be forbidden from being together going forward. They're presumably going to get divorced. It's Machlokas Rishonim, it's whether they have to get divorced or whether they just inevitably are going to get divorced because they can't be together. And we're going to have a discussion about whether she gets her Ksuba money. Maybe she doesn't get her Ksuba money because this is all her fault. Or maybe not, depending on the case. But that's our mission, is kind of all these middle cases where we don't administer the Mei Sota, and then we deal with kind of what happens as a result. So the first set of cases is in Arusa and Shomeres Yavam. That's the beginning of the Mishnah. Arusa v'Shomeres Yavam. So an Arusa is a woman who is betrothed. They've had Erusin. He gave her a ring and say Harayat Mekudeshesli. So there's been Kiddushin. But there hasn't yet been Nisuin. They haven't had relations yet. She hasn't brought her into his house. And so they're in this middle stage of, she's an Arusa. And an Arusa doesn't drink Mei Sota. That the Parsha of Sota doesn't apply to Arusa. That's the first word of the Mishnah. The next two words of the Mishnah is V'shomeres Yavam. A Shomeres Yavam is a woman who is married to a man, and the man died with no children, and he has a surviving brother. So she is a Shomeres Yavam. She has to do the mitzvah of Yibum, which means that the surviving brother will marry her, will do Yibum with her. And if they don't do Yibum, or if they opt to, they could do Chalitza instead. Nowadays, we don't do Yibum, we do only Chalitza. But that's the Shomeres Yavam. So Shomeres Yavam, who finds herself in this situation, where after the death of her husband, when she's Zekuka Yavam, she's still considered a Shomeres Yavam. They haven't yet consummated that Yibum. And she's now accused of being with another man, extraneous to that. So then she wouldn't drink Mei Sota, because that's not a regular marriage. She's just a Shomeres Yavam. So in those two cases, Arusa, Vishomeres Yavam, Lo Shosos, Velo Notlos Ksuba. They don't drink the Mei Sota, because they're, we'll see the psukim specifically, they don't drink Mei Sota. But now presumably they're going to get divorced. They're going to have a get at this point, or chalitza in the case of the Shomeres Yavam. Velo notlos ksuba, and she doesn't get the ksuba from, the Arusa wouldn't be paid a ksuba, and the Shemaras Yavam wouldn't get the ksuba that she would otherwise be entitled to. And the reason Rashi says is Shehi Garma Leser Atzma Alav Shenistra Acharkino, right? This is all her fault. She was the one who ended up kind of at fault here, and a woman at fault doesn't collect the ksuba payment.
Shomeret Yavam gets a ksuba? Her husband died.
That's a good question. Shomeres Yavam would ordinarily get the ksuba of her deceased husband. So maybe what this means is that she doesn't collect the ksuba from her deceased husband. Does Rashi say?
Why would she collect from the deceased husband?
Meaning if they had a joint, bank account, right, and he died, so technically she inherits, everything.
No, she wouldn't necessarily inherit everything. The kids would inherit, right? A wife doesn't inherit the husband.
No, but then she wouldn't be a Shomeret Yavam. If she has kids, then she doesn't need
Yavam. That's true. There are no kids, but normally a Shomeres Yavam would get the meaning if they did Yibam, there wouldn't be a new ksuba typically. The ksuba would continue from the first husband, and any ksuba payment would come from his estate. Mm. I'm not sure. When we say here that lonotos ksuba, Rashi doesn't address that specifically. I'm not sure. Okay, we had Tzarchian as to what that means specifically. Right. But she's not going to get a ksuba payment from the Arus, says it makes sense, right? She would ordinarily get ksuba payment from an Arus. But a Shomeres Yavam, it says Lonotos Ksuba. Okay, we'll have to check on that. I'm not sure. Shenemar, and the pasuk for this is Asher Tiste Isha Tachas Isha Prat La Rusa V'Shomeres Yavam. So the Gemara makes a drasha here. Rashi explains B'Yosheves Tachtav HaKasuv Medaber. It specifically says that the parsha of Sota applies to a woman who is sitting under her husband, literally where they've been together already, where it's a fully consummated marriage, and that implies that in unconsummated marriage, such as in the case of the Arusa, or in the case of the Shomeres Yavam, where she hasn't yet become a full-fledged wife because she's just a Shomeres Yavam, so in those instances, we won't apply the Parsha of Sota. She won't drink the Mesota. Okay, that's the first case. We're going to get back to them. The Mishnah says, Almana l'kohen gadol. So there are a whole bunch of cases now where we talk about Isurei Kiddushin, where you're not allowed to get married. One of them is an almana, a widow is not allowed to marry a kohen gadol. And for that matter, a grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedyot. A grusha can't marry a kohen hedyot, and a chalutza can't marry a kohen hedyot. Now, it's worth mentioning here at this point, a chalutza to a kohen hedyot is only an iser drabanan. And yet, that restriction, that iser drabanan, is going to stop the parsha of sota from happening, which on a daraisa level. So the reason for that is because we're going to see that the drush that we're going to use to learn all of these is based on the idea that it's got to be something that was a clean marriage, that was an appropriate marriage, which means that we're going to expand that drush to include even something that was inappropriate on a drabbanon level, and we're going to see more cases of this going forward, are still going to be mufka from the parsha of Sota because they were inappropriate even on a drabbanon level. Fine. So these cases are people not allowed to get married to each other. Grusha chalutza kohen hedyot, mamzeres v'nesino Yisrael. A mamzeres is not allowed to marry a Yisrael, and a nesina. It's another case of a iser drabanan. This was a gezeira that David HaMelech made on a certain on the Givonim, on because that whole story with the Givonim, they tricked them into making a bris. They became shovei mayim v'chot ve'etzim. So they are not allowed to marry Yisrael, and that's only midrabanan. But again, because it's an inappropriate marriage, so therefore the parsha of Sota is not going to apply to them, even though it's only inappropriate on a drabanan level. Next, ubas Yisrael mamzer, not just a female mamzer, mamzeres to a male Yisrael, but the other way around, also a female Yisraelis to a male mamzer, ulinasin and renasin also. So again, all those cases are lo shosos velo notlos ksuba. These are people who don't drink the mesota, and they also don't collect their ksuba. Fine, because they're inappropriate marriages, and the Gemara in ksubas deals with in what cases of inappropriate marriages do you collect your ksuba, what cases do you not collect your ksuba. It's all complicated sugya there. Sometimes the more chumra ones are the ones where you dafka do collect the ksuba. It's a kind of counterintuitive. But in any event, These are cases where they don't get their ksuba and they don't drink the mesota. The following as well fit into that category where they don't drink the mesota and they don't collect ksuba. Haomeres temeya ani. So here is a case where two ksherim were married to each other. It was a perfectly fine marriage, and you'd think that sota, the parsha sota, should apply to them. But we say if the woman admits that she was unfaithful, we don't administer the mesota. The mesota is only to spill. You don't need to, right? You don't need. Now, at the same time, she's not going to get misa, right? Because she admitted to. You don't necessarily have edim here, but so she's kind of in this. In this situation where she's not going to drink the mesota, she's asura to her husband going forward, and so she's going to end up getting divorced, but she's not going to elect the ksuba because she did the wrong thing by being secluded with someone. So that's one case. V'shaba'u la edim she tamea. Not only that, but if you have edim, that she was tamei. Now, obviously, if you have edim and asra, the perfect scenario, you're going to administer misa. But there are a whole bunch of scenarios where you're not going to administer misa, such as if there's no asra, maybe it was a one aid, I think Rashi points out here, if there's only one aid, that's going to be enough not to administer sota, because we kind of know what's happening here. We don't need to administer the mesota. But on the other hand, there's not two edim. So in those cases also, we're not going to have her drink the mesota, and she's not going to collect the ksuba because she did the wrong thing. And then finally, Va'omeris eni shosa, a woman who declines to drink. She refuses to drink, so then we're not going to have her drink. And that's kind of the way Gemara thinks about that, is that it's almost as if she's admitted to it, right? She's not drinking because she knows that bad things are going to happen, so she's admitting to it. The Gemara and Yud Tes had said that if she's just not drinking because she's nervous about it, then we actually force her to drink. But if she's not drinking because she says, okay, game up, I don't want to play this game with the mesota, it's too dangerous, so then that's kind of an admission that she did it. So that's in the category, again, of lo shosas lo notos ksuba. We're not going to force her to drink, but we know what happened. They're not going to be able to be together anymore. They're going to end up getting divorced, and she's going to not collect her ksuba because she was at fault. Fine. Amar baila eni mashke. Another situation is where the husband says, I don't want to play this sota game. I don't want to have her drink. I'm afraid of the consequences. But again, we're out of the parsha, so we're not going to have them drink. But they're going to be usher to one another. V'shabayla ba'aleha baderech. This is a situation, if you remember back in the beginning of the Sechta, we said that on her way to Yerushalayim to do this, the husband, we weren't sure if we were going to trust the husband to be alone with her, because the husband and her are not allowed to be together after he's accused her of seclusion, and they're on the way to do the mesota. But what if they violate that? Let's say they hang out in a hotel on the way to Yerushalayim and they have relations at that point. So then there too, we're not going to administer the mesota anymore, because the pasuk said, or the drush on the pasuk is, only if they are clean do they do the mesota. But if they violate it, if they've been with each other after the accusation, they're not going to drink mesota.
But they were supposed to be with two edim there.
Yeah, so there we had... exactly.
The chachamim to accompany them.
Right, exactly. On Daf Zion, we talked about that, how you have to have someone accompanying them, but you know, things can go wrong, or they violated the rules and they were together. So there too, we're not going to administer the mesota. So there, notlos ksuba... below shoso. So in these cases, actually, she's not fully at fault, so she's going to collect her ksuba, but she's not going to drink the mesota. Fine. Mesu balehen ad shalosh shasu. So now we have an interesting situation where there's been kinoy and stira. She's all set up to drink the mesota, but now all of a sudden the husband dies. The husband dies. So does she still drink the mesota at this point? So Beishamai Omrim, notlos ksuba v'lo shosos. So Beishamai says she can get her ksuba because we don't have proof that she did anything wrong. She's not necessarily at fault. It was just an accusation. So she's notlos ksuba, and she doesn't drink the mesota because it's kind of after the fact, the husband's dead. That's kind of the one way to think about it. Rashi says it's a pasuk. It says vehevi aish es ishto, etc. The pasuk assumes that the husband is bringing her to drink the mesota. Here the husband's no longer alive, And so the parsha kind of ends there, and she doesn't drink the mesota. That's Beis Shammai's position.
So now she becomes, instead of a suspect of being a sota, she becomes a suspect of maybe foul play.
Right. If you're into conspiracy theories, then probably she off the guy, right?
Maybe she went ahead. He went ahead and accused her. Okay, just because they had a fight that night, whatever, and the Rabbanu Shalom got even with him.
Right. Who knows what happened? It's mysterious. Yeah. But that's Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel says, no, game's not over here. O shosos, o lo notolos kesubasan. Beis Hillel says, no, she can still drink the mesota to exonerate herself. And if she does so and she survives, she'll get her ksuba. But if she declines to drink the mesota, so then kind of the burden of proof is on her. She is suspected of having been unfaithful and she's not going to take her ksuba. But Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel says it's the game's, you know, it's still alive, the possibility of drinking the ksuba. Actually, it's a little more complicated. The Gemara is going to get into it later. Rashi says, Kolmar mitoch shelo shosos lo notos ksuba. Beis Hillel says, because she doesn't, so I think I misstated that, because she doesn't drink, she doesn't collect the ksuba. We're not going to still have her drink, I think, because the pasuk says ve'evi aisha ishto. It's only when the husband's alive do we have her drink. But Basil's points out here, she doesn't get the ksuba payment because she didn't drink to exonerate herself. So she's kind of up the creek, no real solution to her. Good. Now we have another situation of a drabanan prohibited marriage that's going to result where if they married each other and now there's a sota situation, we're not going to have her, we're not going to minister the mesota because it was a drabanan prohibited marriage, namely uberes chavero umenikas chavero lo shosos v'lonotos ksuba divrei Rabbi Meir v'chacham omrim yachol hi hula frishu achziro achar zman. So a uberes chavero is someone who dies when she is pregnant. I'm sorry, the husband died when she was pregnant. And now we say she can't remarry for a period of 24 months after the baby is born. So the first 2 years of the baby's life, she's not allowed to remarry. A meinekes chavero is similar, where she's nursing a newborn and her husband dies, or for that matter, she gets divorced. She can't remarry for a period of 2 years until the baby's 2 years old. And the reason the Gemara in Yevamos gives for this is because we don't want a situation where she has a little baby, and then she has a new husband, and the husband's not going to pay to support the baby, or maybe she might even get pregnant with a new baby, and that's going to cause her milk to dry up. It's basically to protect the health of the baby. We want the woman to devote herself to the baby, to have, be able to nurse the baby without worrying about new babies coming along and new husbands, etc. So for a period of 2 years after they get divorced or he dies or the first husband dies, she's not supposed to remarry. Now, and that's called a minekes chavera umuberes chavero. And it's applicable nowadays also. It's applicable nowadays also that she's not supposed to remarry. The question is what the time is. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in which he says that it's not 2 years, not 24 full months, but nowadays, it's more like somewhere between 18 to 21 months because women don't nurse as long. I don't know what the Matzias is, how long do women nurse nowadays. But that Rav Moshe says the women don't nurse as long. There's an interesting discussion in Rav Moshe's tshuva about when we modify Gezerah Drabanans, right? When Chazal first articulated this Gezerah, Menekes Chavero, or Muberes Chavero, they stipulated it as a 24-month time period. And usually when Chazal say something, when they enact a takana, just because there's kind of changing circumstances, we don't revisit those takanos. If Chazal imposed the takana, then we stick with the takana. So Rav Shlomo Kluger has a tshuva on this topic with respect to Menekes Chavero, Meberes Chavero, where he says that nowadays in his time, it's only 18 months because women only nurse for that long. And even though it's true, we don't modify Takanas Chazal, but you're allowed to you're just not allowed to obliterate a Takanas Chazal unless you have a Bezdin Gadol B'Chacham of Minyan. But you're allowed to manipulate. You're allowed to, you know, change the terms of a Takanas Chazal. Rav Moshe Feinstein in his tshuva says that the issue here is that when Chazal specified the Gezerah, the Takana of Menekas Chavero and Muberes Chavero, they didn't say specifically 24 months. It happens to be Rashi here says 24 months, or the Gemara maybe said 24 months in Yevamos, because that's what at the time it was. But the Takana wasn't 24 months. The Takana was Menekas Chavero, and so therefore it follows the contours of whatever a typical timeline of a Menekas Chavero is in whatever time you're living. So we're not even changing the Takana, we're just applying the Takana, and the Takana nowadays is less than 24 months. But be it as it may, you're not allowed to marry a Menekas Chavero, Muberes Chavero. And so therefore, if you did, the Gezerah, I'm sorry, the rule of Sota, the Parsha of Sota, is not going to apply. And as we said before, it's even by Drabanan inappropriate marriages. That it's not going to apply. Okay, fine. The phrase is beruyu lekaima, right? That's the second Rashi on the top. It shows us do nemra parsha ela beruyu lekaima. The parsha of Sota is only applied to someone who is supposed to stay with their husband. Because it says ki tista isho, when the wife is unfaithful. And dafka, there's a drasha that we make, dafka, a wife that's an appropriate wife. That's the drasha that's made. So again, here too, in this case of an inappropriate wife on a drabana level, it's going to be pulled out of the parsha of Sota. That was Rabbi Meir's shita. V'chachamim omrim, yachol hu la'afrisha u'achsiro achar zman. Chachamim say, it's true that if someone has an inappropriate marriage where they're not supposed to be married, then Sota wouldn't apply. But this is just a temporary limitation. In theory, they could just, meaning if they inappropriately got married during this time, they could just separate from each other for a few more months until the time runs out, and then they could come back to each other. And so therefore, the Chachamim say, this is not in the category of a wholly inappropriate marriage, and therefore, the Parsha of Sota would apply to this marriage. I believe the Rishonim talk about whether it would apply right away or whether it would only apply after they're reunited in an appropriate way afterwards. But be it as it may, that's what the Chachamim say. This isn't fully an inappropriate marriage because they can reunite after the time period. Okay, next is the Iwanus Uzakena Vishena Ruyulaylaid. So a woman who's not capable of bearing children, either because she's an Iwanus, she never, an Iwanus is a woman who doesn't develop the signs of maturity. Uzakena, someone who's already too old to have children. Vishen Ruyulaylaid, or someone who's just not capable of having children. Lo notlos ksuba veloshosos. So she doesn't drink the mesota, she doesn't get the ksuba payment because she is at fault for kind of the marriage is over because of her, and therefore she doesn't get her ksuba. Rav Lazar Omer, yachol hu lisa isha acheres velifros velirbos heimena. Rav Lazar says, in theory, this husband could marry someone else, and so therefore, just because he's married to this woman who's incapable of having children doesn't mean it's an inappropriate marriage, and therefore he disagrees. Then the Gemara says, "Vishar kol hanashim, anyone else, o shosos, o lo notos ksuba." Any woman who is normally in the Parsha of Sota, so then she would either drink the Mesota, but if she declines to drink the Mesota, so then she has to leave. They are usher to one another, and she doesn't collect the Ksuba because it's her fault that she didn't go through the Mesota situation in order to determine that she was in fact clean and that they could be back together. And so therefore, if she declined to do it, she doesn't get her Ksuba. Then the Mishnah says, Eishes Kohen, a wife of a Kohen, Shosa Umateris Labaila. She is just like any other woman. She should drink the Mesota, and then she can go back to her husband. The Gemara later is going to try to understand why the Mishnah might have even thought otherwise. There's no reason to think why an Eishes Kohen might be in some other category. And then finally, Eishes Sris Shota, a woman who's married to a man who is castrated. She drinks the Mesota, and and you know, the normal parsha of Sota applies. The Gemara is going to discuss later why this is worth mentioning. I'm sorry? Because they can't have kids. Yeah, but there might be, right, because the parsha, the drushes in the parsha imply a viable family. But and yeah, the Gemara, Rashi points out the Gemara is going to kind of deal with this later. Fine. Al yidei kol arayos maknin chutz min hakatan umisheino ish. So in order to put a woman in the parsha of Soto, you have to do kinoi. You have to kind of accuse her of being with someone. You have to warn her, and only after she violates stira after that is she now the parsha in Sota. And so we say that any arayos, for example, let's say a husband accuses his wife of having a relationship with her own brother or something like that, or with her father or something like that, God forbid. So even in those situations, that is a Sota situation where the normal rules of Sota would apply. It's not just warning that she's being in an inappropriate relationship with another man, a stranger, even a family member. The exception to this is chutz min hakatan, if she's accused of having been unfaithful with a katan, so then the parsha of Sota won't apply. Rashi points out, because the pasuk says v'shachav ishosa, that only a full-grown man would put it in the parsha of Sota. And then finally, umimi she'eno ish, or someone who's not a man. What's that referring to? It's referring to, Gemara is going to get back to an animal. So if she is accused of being unfaithful, of having engaged in bestiality, that won't put her in the parsha of Sota, only if she's been accused of being unfaithful with a person, with a man. Then finally he says, Ve'elusha bezdin maknilin. Here's a category of people where the husband is not the person who accuses her of infidelity, and that results in the whole parsha of Sota applying, but rather bezdin will step in and warn her and put her in the parsha of Sota. Mishin is scharish baila. If the husband became a cheresh, so he's not capable of putting her into kinoi, into stira, o nishtata, or he becomes he loses his ability to reason. He suffers from some kind of brain damage or something like that. O shayachavush beis hasurim, or he's just not around because he's incarcerated. So then Bezdin will put her in the parsha of Sota. However, the Mishnah clarifies, lo lahashkosa amru, they won't go so far as to actually feed her the mesota, elu apostla miksubasa, but rather just to put her into the category of someone who is unfaithful, and therefore she can't collect her ksuba. Rav Yossi omer, af lahashkosa, v'cheshietze bailo mibeis hasurim yishkena. Rav Yossi says, no, when we say that Bezdin puts her in the parsha of Sota, we mean to say that Bezdin actually warns her not to be secluded with the man, and then the husband will follow through once he gets out of jail, and if she's secluded, he could then accuse her of having been secluded, and then he'll have her drink the mesota. That's the Mishnah. So again, the Mishnah had this whole litany of cases where the parsha of Sota might not apply in its entirety. But the Gemara now is going to swing back to the first two cases of Arusa and Shomeres Yavam. And the Gemara says, Mishta hu d'loshasya hakinoi makniwa. So the Gemara says that when in the case of an Arusa, a woman who's not yet fully married, she's just undergone Anderson, and in the case of Shomeres Yavam, a woman who stands to do Yibam and hasn't yet done Yibam. So it's true that we won't apply the parish of Sota to have her drink the Mesota. However, he can still do kinoi. He could still warn her not to be secluded with a man. And if that is violated, then she would be asura to him. So in the case of an arusa, they wouldn't be able to consummate their marriage. In the case of a shomeres yavam, wouldn't be able to consummate the yibam. They wouldn't be able to do yibam as a result of him warning her not to be secluded. Minahani mili. Where do we know that this is true, meaning where does the Mishnah get its rule from that Arusa and Shomeres Yavam are not in the parsha of Sota? The Tanur Rabbanan, Daber al Bnei Yisrael via Marta. The pasuk says, this is the introductory pasuk to the pasuk to the parsha of Sota. Daber al Bnei Yisrael via Marta, Lam ish ish ki sisa se ishto mala vomal. So the Rashi points out the word via Marta is a reboy. It's coming to teach you something. Lerabos I'm sorry, this is the pasuk to teach you that they do kinoy. That we know that they don't do mesota from the pasuk quoted at the beginning of the Mishnah. The Gemara says, how do you know that the husband does warn her in a way that will now make her usher to him? That's from this riboy ve'amarta, l'rabos arusa v'shameres yavam l'kinoy. Even though the pasuk we quoted in the Mishnah pulled them out of the parsha of sota, this ve'amarta, this riboy pushes them back into the parsha of sota for purposes of making them forbidden to the husband once he's warned them not to be secluded. And the Gemara now says, umasnisin mani. Who is the author of our Mishnah? Who is our Mishnah, not the author of our Mishnah, who's our Mishnah consistent with? Rabbi Yonah's son, he. Our Mishnah is consistent with Rabbi Yonah's son. How's that? The Tanya, because we have a price that says, Tachas Isheich Prat Arusa. So we're going to go through the drushas now that pull Arusa and Shomer's Yavam out of the Parsha of Sota, and we're going to do it, and we're going to see there are two different opinions as to how this works exactly. So the first miyot is tachas isheich, which is to say that only someone who is living with their husband, under the house of their husband, is in the parsha of sota, prat larusa, and that excludes an arusa, because an arusa is not yet living in the house of the husband. Yachol sha'ani motzi af shomeres yavam. Now I might think that that pasuk, which says that only if they're living together, only if they're fully married together, does the parsha of sota apply, doesn't only exclude an arusa, but it also excludes a shomeres yavam, because they're also not living together yet. Talmud lomar ish ish. We have another pasuk that is a riboy that adds a case to the parsha of sota, and therefore that adds shomeres yavam back in. Divrei Rav Yoshia. So according to Rav Yoshia, we have a pasuk that says that people who are not living together are out of the parsha of sota. That excludes an arusa, but we have another riboy that puts someone in that category back in of ishish. So that puts the shomeres yavam back into the parsha of sota, and that's Rav Yoshia's shita. So meaning only an arusa is excluded from parsha of sota, but a shomeres yavam is put back into the parsha of sota. That's Rav Yoshia. Rav Yonah son Omer. And so obviously that can't be our Mishnah. Rosha can't be the author of our Mishnah because he says that it's only a arusa that's excluded, but a shomeres yavam is back into the parsha of sota. However, Rabbi Yonah son Omer, tachas yisheich, prat l'shomeres yavam. He says, in fact, that the pasuk of tachas yisheich doesn't only exclude an arusa, it also excludes a shomeres yavam. Otsi shomeres yavam, v'lootzi es arusa. I might have thought within Shita's Rabbi Yonah's son that I might only exclude the Shomeres Yavam, but not exclude the Arusa. Talmud Lomar, Asher Tiste Isha Tachas Isha Prat Larusa. So he has another drasha that teaches you that Arusa's out. So that's our Mishnah, because our Mishnah said that both of them are outside of the Parsha of Sota. So to review, Rav Yoshia has Tachas Isheich to say that Arusa is excluded, but he has Ish to put the Shomeres Yavam back into the Parsha, whereas Rav Yonah's son has two separate drushas, one that covers the Shomeres Yavam, that's Tachas Isheich, and one that covers an Arusa, that's Isha Tachas Isha. So according to Rav Yonah's son, neither the Shomeres Yavam nor the Arusa are in the Parsha. Sota, that's our Mishnah, which said that an Arusa and a Shomeres Yavam are not in the Parsha of Sota. Good. Now, the Gemara is just going to make an observation about which one, according to these different drushos, as between the Shomeres Yavam and the Arusa, which one were we more likely to include in the Parsha of Sota? Meaning, if you had to choose, if you only have one drusha, and you're going to put one in the Parsha, if you only have one drusha to exclude one category, like Rav Yoshia did, right? And you're going to pull one of these people out of the Parsha of Sota and put one of them in the Parsha of Sota. So the one that's more like a full-fledged wife is going to be put in the Parsha of Sota. And then the one that's less like a full-fledged wife is going to be more likely candidate to have the drasha that pulls them out of the Parsha of Sota apply to them. And so the Gemara says that Rav Yoshia and Rav Yonasan each came at this with different perspectives as to which one of these is more likely to be in the Parsha of Sota than the other, as between a Shomeres Yavam and Arusa. Mar, Rav Yona's son, Alimalei Arusa, he thought an Arusa was more like a full-fledged wife. Dikidushe didei visoklin al yado. Because an Arusa is just like any other wife, in the sense that the husband did kiddushin with her. There was kind of a very close relation. There was privity between that husband and that wife. Visoklin al yado. Not only that, but if she's unfaithful, she would get skila as a result of being an Arusa. So she's kind of almost like a regular wife. And so Rav Yona's son, when he thought about this, he thought about a Arusa as being more of a full-fledged wife, and that's the way he approached it. Umar, Rav Yoshia, who said that the Arusa is out of the Parsha of Sota, but the Shomeres Yavam is in the Parsha of Sota, so even here it's even more clear with him, because he says that the Shomeres Yavam is like a full-fledged wife, even more so than an Arusa. So he says, Alimalei Shomeres Yavam, he says a Shomeres Yavam is more like a full-fledged wife, more like a standard wife, and therefore is included in the Parsha of Sota. D'lo mechsera mesira l'chuppa, because she is kind of like a full-fledged wife, because you don't need anything more in order to consummate that relationship, right? As opposed to a rusa, where you'd need a chuppa, where you'd need to say the shavra, you need to go through the ritual of nisuin in order to now make her a full-fledged wife. That's not true by a Shomeres Yavam. A Shomeres Yavam, we're relying on the nisuin of the first husband who had died, and all they need to do is do bia, and that's going to consummate the relationship between the Shomeres Yavam and the Yavam. And so she's kind of like a quasi-wife in a full sense. And so that's why Rav Yoshia is going to say that she is more like a regular wife and more likely to be considered in the Parsha of Sota. And if we have one pasuk that's going to pull one of them out, it's going to pull out the Arusa, who's less like a full-fledged wife, according to Rav Yoshia. Okay, so that was just an observation of the Gemara. Now the Gemara is going to deal with the extra drushos that each one is going to have. V'Rav Yona's son, hi ish ish, my avid lay. According to Rav Yona's son, the pasuk of ish ish, which is the pasuk that Rav Yoshia had used to put Shomeres Yavam back into the Parsha, so that's extraneous for Rav Yona's son. Right, it was only used by Rav Yoshia. So what's Rav Yonasan going to do with this pasuk of ish ish? Mi boy lei l'rabos eishes cheresh, v'eishes shota, v'eishes shimam. So he requires this pasuk to teach you that very last halacha that the Mishnah had taught, which is that Bezdin will step in and warn a woman whose husband himself can't warn her because he's a cheresh or he's a shota, or he's a shimum, which Rashi means that he's just like a little confused. He doesn't have his full faculties together. So because he's not capable of doing kinoi, Bezdin will step in and warn her not to be secluded. And as a result, they'll be forbidden from one another. Or according to Rabbi Yossi, we'll even have him administer mesoto if he comes back into the picture. But whatever it is. So that's what that pasuk is, a riboy, to teach you that in that situation, Bezdin can do kinoi. Good. That explains what Rav Yona's son does with the pasuk of ish ish. V'Rav Yoshia, hai tachas isha, my avid lei. So Rav Yoshia, right, if you remember, he only includes the Arusa from the Parsha of Sota. He put Shomeres Yavam back in. So the pasuk that Rav Yona's son had used to pull the Arusa out of the Parsha of Sota, what is Rav Yoshia going to do with that pasuk? Isha tachas isha. It's an extra pasuk for Rav Yoshia. My avid lei. Mi boy lei lahakish isha liisha veisha liish. He requires it for a completely different hekesh that the Gemara is going to get to much later on Chav Zion. That has to do with a suma of someone who's blind, and the Gemara is going to deal with that there. Ela taima dechsivi. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to deal with a fascinating, take a pause. Those were the limudim, those were the psukim that were used to teach what's included in the Parsha of Sota, what's not included in the Parsha of Sota. But the Gemara is now going to get from here to the end of the daf, has a fascinating discussion of why we're even discussing this. How can you even think that these things might be included in the Parsha of Sota or might not be included in the Parsha of Sota, etc.? Let's see. Gemara says, El taima diksivi hanikra. It seems to be, says the Gemara, that the reason why we include Shomeres Yavam or don't include Shomeres Yavam, or the reason we don't include an Arusa, according to both opinions, in the Parsha of Sota is because of these drashos, as we just said. Halav hachi, but if not for these psukim, hava amina arusa shasya, we would have thought that an arusa is in the Parsha of Sota, that she follows all the normal rules of Sota, if not for these psukim, right? Because both Rav Yosha and Rav Yonasan had said arusa is not in the Parsha of Sota. And they were both because of drashos, based on psukim. The implication is, as there not have been this psukim, that an arusa would have drank the mesota. But Gemara says that's hard to understand. Vaki asar of Acha Barchanina Midroma, when Rav Acha Barchanina came from the south, asav aisi masnisa biyade, he came with the following memra of Chazal in his hand. The pasuk says mi baladei isheich. The pasuk in the context of sota says that, where is it? Vaki satis tachas isheich v'chinit meis v'iten ish bach es shechavto mi baladei isheich. Right, there's an accusation that this woman has been with someone other than the husband. Someone other than the husband. That is used as a drasha to teach you, Mishakadma Shchivas Baal Boel, that the Parsha of Sota is only going to apply where the husband, the real good husband, right, the one that she's married to, had been together with her prior to her being unfaithful. Meaning, if she was, let's say these people got married, and then they were never together, and the first thing that happened is that she was unfaithful. So not a good way to start a marriage. But not only that, but the Parsha of Sota won't apply. Because the Parsha of Sota said that she was unfaithful with another man in addition to her husband. And the implication is, in addition to her husband, is that she had already been with her husband in a normal way. This is a good, normal marriage. And then she's unfaithful after that. But if she had never been with her husband altogether, the whole Parsha of Sota doesn't apply. Right? Mibaldei sheikh mishekad meshchivas baal lebo'el v'lo shekad meshchivas boel lebo'el. So the question the Gemara has is, how can an arusa ever be in the Parsha of Sota? An arusa is someone who hasn't had relations yet. Right? They just had a chuppah. He gave her a ring and said, all right, mekadeshesli, but they haven't had relations yet. So how could you ever talk about the possibility of an arusa being a sota if she has never been in the husband? Now, it turns out we have a drasha that says she's out of the Parsha of Sota. But the Gemara is asking, why do you even need a drasha? The arusa has nothing to do with Sota. She wasn't with her husband yet. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rami Bar Chama, Mishkachas la kigon shebo la arus bebeis avia. Rami Bar Chama says, it's true that for good, squeaky, clean people, an arusa might not have ever been with the man. And therefore, you would never think to put her in the Parsha of Sota. But not everyone is so squeaky clean. Mm-hmm. And there are sometimes that people might be with, a man might be with his anarusa, even when she's still bebeis chameha, even when she's not living with him yet, even during the period between Irusin and Nisuin. And if they were inappropriately together during that time, and then they... So right, what's the scenario?
And then they got married, and then she was with someone
not
else.
Not even got married, but they were inappropriate together. She's still an arusa, and then she's with someone
else.
She's with someone else. That would be the scenario where the Parsha of Sota might have applied. Yeah. Comes along the psukim, these drushes, Rav Yosha and Rav Yonasan, and pulls her out of the Parsha of Sota. That's the scenario where an arusa might have been included in the Parsha of Sota, and where the psukim come and say, no, if she's an arusa, she's not included in the Parsha of Sota.
That wouldn't constitute nisuin?
And that wouldn't constitute nisuin. That wouldn't constitute nisuin. Yeah, you'd have to figure out the scenario why that wouldn't constitute nisuin. It says, bebeis avia. She's Yeresha Boa, Aris bebeis avia. So that would not constitute nisuin. Like maybe you have to have kavana for nisuin. Maybe it has to be under his roof. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that wouldn't constitute nisuin. Okay, so now the Gemara says, okay, we figured out the arusa situation. But now let's turn to Shomer's Yavam. Dekavasa, Gabi Shomer's Yavam. The Mishnah, the Gemara says, I don't understand. A Shomeres Yavam also hasn't had relations with the husband. Yeah, with the Yavam, with the surviving brother. And so I don't understand, says the Gemara, why we're talking about Shomeres Yavam in the context of Sota. According to Rav Yonasan, why do you need the Pasuk to pull her out of the Parsha of Sota? According to Rav Yoshia, why is she in the Parsha of Sota? Why does she drink the Mesota? She hasn't been with her Yavam yet. And so therefore, she's going to violate this. It wasn't Mibaladei Sheikh. They haven't had relations first so that she could be unfaithful after she's been with the Yavam. So the Gemara answers, Kigon Shabala Yavam Bebeis Chamea. So just give a similar answer that the Yavam had relations with her in the father's house, meaning not with the intention in his father's house, not with the intention of consummating the Yibam. But however, Hashomeres Yavam Karisla Ishto Malaisahi. The Ha'amarav Kanal Akol. The Gemara says that's hard to imagine because once a Yavam has relations with a Shomeres Yavam, that's all that needs to happen in order to consummate their marriage. So even if they've had quote unquote illicit relations outside without intent of consummating the Yibam or something that wasn't standard, that's going to result in her now being a full-fledged wife to him, and then we're not in the parsha of Shomeres Yavam. So how could the Mishnah have said that a Shomeres Yavam is not in the parsha of Sota, that Sota doesn't apply to a Shomeres Yavam? There's no such thing as just Shomeres Yavam where Sota could possibly apply. Because Mimanafshach, if she had relations, so then she's not a Shomeres Yavam anymore. She's a wife. If she hasn't really had relations yet, then the Parsha of Shomeres Yavam, the Parsha of Sota can't apply because it's not Nibaladei Sheikh. They haven't had relations yet. So what's going on? So the Gemara answer is, that's only true according to Rav. Rav held that any relations between a Yavam and a Yavama immediately means that they're full-fledged husband and wife. However, Shmuel had a different view. Shmuel said it's only if they have relations with the intent of consummating that Yibam relationship that she becomes a full-fledged wife and she's no longer considered a Shomeres Yavam. But Kishmuel, Da'amar Lokana Eludvarim Hamurim Barparsha, Shmuel says that a Shomeres Yavam that has relations with a Yavam without full intent of becoming a wife, so then some of the halachos of Yibam now apply. He, for example, will inherit her. They'll need a get, but there are aspects of the relationship that are not now a full-fledged marriage, and therefore she's considered still a Shomeres Yavam, and that's where our Mishnah is saying that she cannot be a Sota. A woman who had relations with her Yavam without intent to be a full-fledged wife, she's still considered a Shomeres Yavam. And if she now has Sota situations, if she's now warned and then does Stira, we wouldn't administer Mei Sota to her, according to our Mishnah, according to Rav Yonasan, and according to Rav Yosha, you need the Pasuk Ishish to teach you she's not concluded in the Parsha of Sota. The Gemara then, just to finish it off, says, Ihachi, Lema Rav Damak Rav Yosha, Vishmuel Damak Rav Yonasan. Why don't you just very simply explain our sugya very cleanly to say that Rav, who said that you can't have a situation of a Shomeres Yavam in a Sota situation, he held like Rav Yoshia, and therefore the Shomeres Yavam is still in because you just can't have it any other way. She's like a full-fledged wife. Whereas Shmuel, who said that you can have a situation of a Shomeres Yavam and you wouldn't include that in the Parsha of Sota, that's Rav Yonasan, who said that Tachas Yisheikh taught you that a Shomeres Yavam is not in the Parsha of Sota. So Amar Lecha Rav, Ano Da Amri Afilu Rav Yonasan, Midistrach Kra Lumiute, Michal Disha Malaisehi. Rav says, no, I don't want to limit myself to Rav Yoshia and to say that I'm the Shomeres. I don't want to limit myself to Rav Yoshia, he says. He says, I could even work within Rav Yonah's son. It's just that Rav Yonah's son needed a pasuk to teach you that an arusa is not included, and that makes sense for me because right, I'm the one who holds that you can't really have a Shomeres Yavam in a full-fledged way in the parasha of Sota. And then just to finish up, Shmuel Amar Anod Da Amri Afilu Rab Yoshia Midistrich Karlu Rebuye Michlau Dulav Isha Hiklau. So Shmuel says, I who hold that the parsha of Sota, I'm sorry, that a Shomeres Yavam can remain a Shomeres Yavam even after she's had Bia, where she didn't have Bia for the purpose of consummating that Yubam relationship. So I hold that she's still a Shomeres Yavam. And therefore, since she's a Shomeres Yavam, Rav Yoshia would require a pasuk to teach you that she's still in, notwithstanding the fact that she's the Shomeres Yavam. And so therefore, I'm not limited to the Shita of Rav Yonah's son. I could even work with the Shita of Rav Yoshia. That's a kind of a clean break, and we'll start, I guess, next week is a new parsha.
Okay.